Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim. Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. This summer, we're taking a few weeks to go back and listen to some of our most popular guests. This week, we're going to revisit a conversation that we had some time ago with Karen Gordon. Karen is a leadership and relationship expert. She's the author of The Three Chairs, How Great Leaders Drive Communication, Performance, and Engagement. She is the CEO and co-founder of DK Leadership, which is a global leadership coaching company whose purpose is developing leaders at work and at home. She has been featured on Good Morning America and the Forbes magazine, as well as the New York Times. And she has some great thoughts to share around leadership, and I know it's going to be helpful to you in your career. Looking forward to today's conversation with Karen. First off, could you give us just a little bit of your story, a little bit of your career history?
Sure. Thanks so much. So I've been doing this work for 25 years. I feel like a dinosaur. It's been a long time. My doctorate's in marriage and family. So I just spent the first 10 years working with teenagers and millennials. So for everybody who has teenagers, they are my favorite age group to work with. I love teenagers, and worked at a medical center and started my first practice. And did that for the first 10 years. And I became quite a millennial expert or teen expert here in Canada. Mm-hmm. And then I was encouraged by a lot of these big companies that were sponsoring my work nationally to transfer the knowledge I had from millennials into the workplace 15 years ago. So that's how I kind of started expanding our work. And so today we work with companies all around the world. I work mostly with senior leadership teams, a lot of managers. And I found that if I could train managers successfully, they would have a much better attraction and retention rate with their millennial employees. So I've got this little niche where I can actually speak to businesses, but I also speak to families, and I still practice with families, but 80% of my time now is working with management teams, which has been extremely fun.
Great. Well, one of the questions I love to ask almost every guest is, if you were to go back, spend back time to age 22, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give yourself?
Oh boy, I would have gotten myself a mentor early. I got my first mentor when I was about 28, which is a complete game changer. All my training is in psychology. And so when I started being asked to transfer the knowledge into the workplace, I didn't have any business background. But what was interesting, when I went to Waterloo University, I had to take a bunch of business classes for part of my co-op. And I actually did better in my business classes than I did in my psychology classes, which is kind of funny. And so what I did when I was 27, 28 is I realized I needed to get myself a business mentor. And so I did that, and it was a game changer. So my 22-year-old self, I would have said, get yourself a mentor as fast as you possibly can, and really learn how to scale what you know to reach a wider audience. And I didn't really even learn a lot about that concept until probably my mid-30s. So it's definitely been an evolution, but a super fun one. And, you know, just it, like for everybody with their career, right? It's sure. A lot of change, and you look at in terms of different opportunities. So it's been an exciting journey.
Well, you've got a new book that's coming out, and actually it's going to coincide with just right before this episode comes out. And I encourage everybody to pick up a copy of it. It's entitled The Three Chairs, How Great Leaders Drive Communication, Performance, and Engagement. You've said it already. You're being featured in a number of business magazines, as well as having some good success with it. But talk a little bit about just what was kind of the reason for writing the book, and we'll jump right into it.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we just hit 3 bestsellers on Amazon last week, and then last week this week featured in Forbes, Inc., and Entrepreneur. So we're off to a good start. Great. And this is all the pre-orders. We haven't even released the books. The book actually gets released October the 31st. So The Three Chairs is really a summary of everything I've done in my career. And I want everybody who is, Mark, are you a visual learner out of curiosity? Are you a visual learner?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. I find about 70% of people actually are. So for all of us visual learners, I want you to visualize looking at a stage and seeing three chairs. And that's really the cover of the book. So if you can actually see it on Mark's podcast here, that is the cover right there. And so this is a concept I created 24 years ago when I was working with teenagers. And I noticed that a lot of them struggle with self-esteem. And so I started doing a lot of research on what is the power of self-esteem and attitude, and how does that translate to decision-making? And I found a ton of research, but it was sitting on dusty shelves in university libraries. And so I thought, how do I take this data, this research, and make it really powerful? And so I came up with this concept called the three chairs. And the idea is that I started with high schools and now I do it with businesses, is that these three chairs are essentially the three attitudes of that we all have. So if you look at a stage, you've got these three chairs. The left chair is the person who I would call the insecure person or the insecure leader. So they are top of themselves. They're critical. They put themselves down, whether publicly or quietly. Then on the right chair, you've got the arrogant leader. They're cocky. They're arrogant. They're full of themselves. They will tell you what you know, they don't care how you feel at the end of it. They're just going to tell you, you know, what they want. And then you've got this middle chair leader, this middle chair mindset, what I call the confident leader. And this is the leader that they know a lot, but they don't know everything. They have a sense of humility. And so the whole notion around the book is helping people understand what chair are you sitting in and how does it affect your life? What chair are you sitting in? How does it affect how you lead, how you communicate, how you deal with stress, how you manage boundaries? And the crazy thing is, Mark, I started teaching this concept to high schoolers. They picked it up. And then I started teaching it to kindergarten kids. So I actually teach the three chairs to five-year-olds all the way to Fortune 500 CEOs, because this is not a teen topic. This is a human topic, and leadership starts very young. And so, but it really does start with the mindset. And if we can understand the mindset that we have, it actually almost predicts, based on science, how we respond to different decisions. And so the book literally gives people goose pimples when they're reading it, because now they understand, okay, I see myself in the left chair. Now I understand why I deal with conflict this way. Now I understand why I choose a partner, because you can actually even choose, you can even, based on the three chairs, you can actually predict how who people choose as their life partner, but also their business partner. It literally is crazy once actually people start kind of going through it.
So if you're in that first chair, what are some practical things you can do to move to that middle chair?
That middle chair. So there's a lot of different ways, and the book is filled with very, it's all research-based, but it's extremely practical. And there's workbook and team discussion questions to really kind of round it. Because I really do feel that the power of this book is doing it in a group, because when everybody can be learning together, insights start firing off and then you can start applying it. So if people really identify, so I was speaking at Royal Bank, for example, last week, and literally I'm looking at my audience of 1,000 people and people are like at the edge of their seat, because they can start seeing, oh my goodness, I'm sitting in the left chair. My spouse is sitting in the right chair. I've got a manager who's sitting in the middle chair. My son is sitting in the left. People kind of start kind of mapping it out. And so first question I get people to say is, which chair are you sitting in the majority of the time? Second question is, how does it impact your life? And third question, to your point, is how do you sit in the middle chair? So if somebody identifies sitting in that left chair, they identify with that more insecure leader, which is by the way, 70% of the population will identify with sitting in that left chair. One of the first things is to not personalize feedback, because a lot of times people in that left chair, it is very hard for them to get feedback. They personalize it. So it makes it really difficult if they're in your team, or if they're a client, or if they're a family member, because you feel like you can't give them any feedback because they personalize and they kind of fall apart. And so first thing I try to get people to do is don't personalize feedback, see it as data. So even if even if the feedback is tough and it's hard to hear, try to see it as feedback is a huge one. And then the second one is actually to set goals, is actually one of the best ways to learn to sit in the middle chair, goals that are important to the person. And so when I teach this to high schoolers, that's what I tell them. If you want to learn to sit in the middle chair, what are three things you really want to achieve, and put pen to paper and kind of put the action plan in? Because when we start taking initiative on things that are important to us, all of a sudden we become the driver in our own life. We're not this passenger that's kind of hanging out. And so that's why goal setting is an incredible way to learn to sit in the middle chair. And then the third tip I would tell people is identify people in your life, work and home, that already sit in the middle chair. Who are they at work? Who are the middle chair folk? Who are the middle chair people in at home? And pay attention and spend time with them, because it's like a language. If you spend time with people in the middle chair, you start learning how they deal with feedback, how they set goals, how they take initiative, how they deal with conflict. And you can learn a ton by just being in the presence of other people who sit in the middle chair.
So for those, and you know who you are, you're sitting in that third chair. Is there any hope?
You know who you are. Yes. Everyone's like, oh no, please don't say my name. Please don't say my name. Yes. Yeah.
It's that person you're thinking of. Yeah. If you're thinking of somebody else, probably you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So is there some steps that somebody realizes the light bulb goes on and you go, man, that's kind of how I've been leading to move to that, you know, from the third chair to the second chair?
Yeah, it's a great question, Mark. And I think when I speak about this and when I give keynotes on it and I watch my audience, you know, I'll say, who can see where they're sitting? And I'll see like 99 hands start going up. And the ones in the left chair are actually the most coachable because they know they don't feel great and they kind of, so there's a motivation. It's the right chair folks and leaders that are the hardest to reach. Mm-hmm. And so you can't, and the thing is, you can't make somebody sit in the middle chair. It's our own journey. We all have to learn how to sit in the middle chair ourselves, right? So that arrogant leader on the right hand, the best way to respond to them is you want to actually be friendly, but distant, actually. You kind of, you know, we're all going to have people in our life that are that right chair leader. And we're going to have them at work. We're going to have them at home. We're going to have them with their in-laws. We're going to have them with neighbors. So you have to kind of learn how to manage those kind of relationships. And so the strategy is be friendly, but distant, but also learn how to stay, hold your ground, because it's that arrogant leader that will be quite a bit of a bully and they will try to push and they will attract the left chair. So the right chair and the left chair leaders are often attracted to each other in both business partners as well as in spousal relationships. That middle chair leader, they learn how to hold their ground and challenge in a respectful way that right chair leader to try to kind of get their buy-in. And so it's an art and a science. And I give a lot of examples in the book of kind of how do you practically kind of do that.
So a lot of our listeners are new or maybe new CEOs, or maybe have moved into a leadership role. What are some practical ways to figure out you've inherited a team typically, you've come in and you're now leading this team. What are some ways to figure out kind of what your makeup of your team is, and are there some practical things people can do besides get the book and go through?
Yeah,
the exercises?
No, it's great. I recommend the book, but not just my book. My book is one piece of the puzzle, right? It's like a lot of leadership, right? I recommend Patrick Lencioni's book too, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. I'm a big fan of that because that talks about the team dynamics. My book is more on the individual leader. And so, you know, somebody was asking me just last week in terms of what are three books that I'd be recommending. And if I was to kind of put together a kit that I think would kind of fit all the pieces, I would recommend Traction for entrepreneurs and actually building in terms of overall kind of the strategy of business. I would recommend Patrick Lencioni's book, The Five Dysfunctions, about the team. And I'd recommend my book in terms of developing the actual individual leader. If you kind of put those three books as almost a kit, they almost kind of round it off because they all kind of focus on different things. I think when you inherit a team or you inherit a business, it's you're going to have a makeup of all those three different chairs. And what's great about great about my book is it kind of helps people to kind of take a step back and you can kind of start seeing where people are at. You can certainly have a wonderful understanding about yourself, but then you kind of understand now, why do people do certain things? Why do people avoid conflict, right? Why do people are afraid to take risks? Why aren't people not putting up their hand for actually promotion? Well, a lot of it is because they're sitting in that left chair. And so when we can kind of have that step back and we're like, okay, now I understand why they do that. So here's the approach that I have to try to kind of get their buy-in. It really is quite empowering. And then the strategy really is, okay, how can we build a team? How can we build a team that we're all in the middle chair? One of the companies that I was working with in Wisconsin, when the two CEOs heard this, he goes, Karen, he goes, this two gentlemen, they're like, this makes total sense. We want to make our company in the middle chair. We want all of our teams to get in the middle chair. We want our managers to get in the middle chair. So we're going to get the book for everybody. So this is going to become almost like the language. And it just helps create a uniform of language, right? In terms of when we're talking about culture, you want to have something that's easy for people to kind of understand. And so that's why the visual is actually really helpful.
So this applies not only in our work life, but you talk about your background in marriage and family.
Yeah.
How would you apply this as a parent? Because I've got three kids and they're all wired differently. And how would you approach that in a family setting?
Yeah, it's great. And Mark, how old are your children?
They're all grown. And now I have the next generation of grandkids. Being,
woo! So, yeah, all right. That's great. So yes, this is why I love this topic is that, you know, when I teach it to business leaders, so many of them are like, oh, this is so great. I can actually teach this to my kids. And absolutely. So the first step is to read the book so that the leaders can actually understand the concept. The second step is now to teach to your kids. And actually, the book is very easy. We have high schools that are actually starting to buy it for grade 11 and older. We have universities that are starting to buy it for their business classes, because you want people to be learning these skills early, right? You don't want to be waiting until they're, you know, in their 30s. So the how it applies to parents is, I've got twin boys, they're 14. I taught them I taught them the three chairs when they were in the third grade. I'd come back from an event and it was for kids. And I thought, they said, Mom, what were you doing? And I said, well, I was speaking at this conference. They're like, well, what were you speaking about? And I thought, you know what, this is the right time. So I got three chairs from my living room out of the kitchen, and I put them in my living room and I put them in front of them. And I said, I'm going to teach you with what I do for my job. And I explained them the three chairs. And then I said, okay, now which chair do you think you're sitting in? And they were able to identify it, Mark, very quickly. I'm sitting in this chair. And then what's interesting with children, and you will see this with leaders too, is they'll see themselves sitting in different chairs for different things. Mm-hmm. So they might say, academically, I sit in the middle chair. With my friends, I'm sitting more in the left chair. Or with my goal setting, I'm sitting, like, you know, kids will do that. Kids will kind of like piece it apart. And so it's a great question of, where are you sitting? Where are your friends sitting? And you keep it a confidential conversation, because sure. Generally speaking, people are attracted to those that are sitting in the middle, like the same chair. So middle chair children will be attracted unconsciously, subconsciously, to other people in the middle chair. And then left chair is often attracted to the right chair. So all you have to do is visually put in front of kids, explain it, and they start actually picking up. And then they have an awareness of, what do you need to do to help yourself move in the middle chair? Who are the people in your life you need to surround yourself who are in the middle chair? And also, you've got a very simple framework to really teach self-esteem, confidence, but leadership.
That's great. Yeah, absolutely. So what, outside of work, what do you do to recharge?
Well, I do lots of, we're a very active family, being a mom of twin boys. I've never been more active in my entire life. Sure. Mountain biking and rock climbing and paddle boarding. I'm a big paddler. We love tennis as a family. We're a big skiing family. So lots of adventure, lots of sports. And then I actually love interior design. That's my other really big hobby. And so if I'm not doing my regular job, we're renovating apartments, and we don't flip them, but we love to decorate. We love to renovate. It's quite a joy. There's a creative outlet for me. And so I really do love it's great to work, but it's great to have things that are outside of work. It just kind of helps with the brain, and seeing that different kind of transformation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how would somebody learn more about your work and what you do?
Thanks so much. Yeah, the best is to go to my website. So it's www.dkleadership. Obviously stands for Dr. Karen. So dkleadership.org. And in Canada, so I'm Canadian. Some of you would probably have heard my Canadian accent, but most of my work actually is in the States. And so, sure. And one of my US clients, they were like, you know, Karen, we don't really have .org in the States. Is that true, Mark? It's not very popular. Is that right?
For nonprofits it is, but.
Oh, yeah. For nonprofits. Okay. In Canada, it's very popular. So it is dkleadership.org. So we've got lots of free giveaways at our website. So those are free resources for families as well as organizations. And it's all focused on leadership and emotional intelligence. That's our niche, but extremely practical, so that people can learn it, apply it, and see change.
Well, I wish you success with the new book. I encourage everybody to pick up a copy and use it not only at work, but in your own families, and appreciate all of your time and insights today.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.